Jeremiah 17. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is engraved on the tablet of their heart and on the horns of your altars, while their children remember their altars and their asherim by the green trees on the high hills. Point is that their sin was very deeply in their heart. So the idea is that sin is in the heart. The prophets keep on about this. God keeps on about it. That he's not criticizing so much the actions, he's going beyond the actions and saying it's the heart. And it was that which he wanted to reform. And the promise of the new covenant is that God would pour out upon them his spirit, that he would give them another heart. And this is what every truly spiritually minded person really wants. Another heart that hasn't got sin engraved so deeply and hardly within it. And this is what God is willing to give us through the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is one reason we should get baptized, that we might receive that gift of the Spirit. Not speaking in tongues, not miracles and all that stuff. That is all finished. But God is still alive in this important way, this critically important way, whereby he will change human hearts and transform our minds and give us his spirit and his mind and heart. My mountain and the field, I will give your substance and all your treasures for a spoil and your high places because of sin. You, even of yourself, shall discontinue from your inheritance that I gave you. I will cause you to serve your enemies in the land which you don't know. Thus says Yahweh, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm and whose heart departs from Yahweh. Well, they were trusting in man in that they were desperately hoping that the Assyrians and particularly the Egyptians would help them against Babylon rather than throwing themselves in all their heart upon their God. This man shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in Yahweh and whose trust Yahweh is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, who spreads out its roots by the river, and shall not fear when heat comes, but its leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it? I think this is a description of the state of their heart at the time, rather than saying that everybody has got this corrupt heart. I mean, Jesus had our human nature, exactly what we have got, and yet he was wholly harmless and undefiled. I, Yahweh, search the mind, I try the heart, even to give every man according to his works, according to the fruit of his doings. That's because the heart is directly responsible for our doings, our actions. It's the same with our words. As Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, the heart is really the mind. And we will be given according to our mind. This is why it's so critically important not to have a lying and deceitful heart that is deceiving ourselves as well as other people, but to speak the truth in your heart. That is what's so important. And we need God's help to do this. And he will work on human hearts as he has done all through biblical history. As the partridge bird that sits on eggs which she has not laid, so is he who gets riches and not by right. In the midst of his days they shall leave him, and at his end he shall be a fool. And now Jeremiah prays, a glorious throne set on high from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Yahweh, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be disappointed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken Yahweh, the spring of living waters. Heal me, O Yahweh, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Behold, they tell me, where is the word of Yahweh? Let it come now. So they were mocking him. As for me, I have not hurried from being a shepherd after you, neither have I desired the woeful day, you know. That which came out of my lips was before your face. He's saying that, look, all my words were said in your presence. And that is true. God is present in our lives, and all our thoughts and all our words are said before him. The whole idea of thinking you can mutter things under your breath and not be heard. No, you might do that to your parents, to your teachers, to your co-workers, to your boss, to other people, but not before God. That which comes out of our lips is before his face. Don't be a terror to me. You are my refuge in the day of evil. Let them be disappointed who persecute me, but let not me be disappointed. Thus said Yahweh to me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people through which the kings of Judah come in and by which they go out, and tell them, hear the word of Yahweh, you kings of Judah and all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Well, that was a pretty scary thing to do, to have to go and stand by the gates and actually call out to the king of Judah. That's why at the beginning of his ministry, God said to Jeremiah that he would psychologically strengthen him so that he might be able to witness God's word. And God will do the same to us if we think we're too shy or whatever, that we can't tell anybody else about the gospel. We will be strengthened that we might do it. So this was his message. Take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Don't do any work, but make the Sabbath day holy as I commanded your fathers. But they didn't listen, neither turned their ear, but made their necks stiff, that they might not hear and might not receive instruction. If you diligently listen to me, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath, but to make the Sabbath day holy, then shall there enter in by the gates of this city kings and princes sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain for ever. But if you will not listen to me, to make the Sabbath day holy, and not to bear a burden, and enter in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Well, it's not using eternal fire that will not be quenched in a literal sense. I mean, they did sin, and indeed, Jerusalem was burnt, but the fire's not still burning. It's like in the New Testament you read that Sodom suffered the punishment of eternal fire. Well, Sodom is not still on fire. So I think that eternal fire that is not quenched is a symbol for the anger of God and complete destruction. It doesn't mean that there is going to be eternal punishment. Like if you put something in a fire, well, it's burnt and it disappears. And therefore, the punishment of the wicked ultimately is, as Revelation says, to die the second death. And the wages of sin is death. Not eternal conscious existence, but the eternal fire is used here as a symbol of complete destruction.